pleased to say, for a change, some forward movement is taking place regarding our long-term care centers in New Jersey and actions in the State House in Trenton. Advances, not conclusions and remedies, but several steps in the right direction have taken place. Example, committee advanced a bill that would establish uniform requirements for a submission of outbreak response plans by nursing homes. Sponsored by Assembly Democrats Herb Conaway, Valerie Venieri, Huddle, and Angela McKnight. If you want to look this up on the state legislative website, it's A4430. And it makes it clear that all nursing homes, all, not just those caring for any ventilator-dependent residents, would have to submit outbreak response plans to the Department of Health as a condition of their being licensed. Other requirements, protocols for isolating and cohorting infected patients, policies on testing and monitoring the health of residents and staff to quickly ID signs of any communicable diseases, protocols for identifying sick visitors and requiring sick staff to stay home. This is frightening that this actually has to be ordered, told, and dictated, whatever phrase you want to use. Of course, I've told you stories week after week, where especially in the veterans centers, when they were still being allowed, even delivery people weren't being tested. Bill also calls for clear policies on notifying families, visitors, staff, and public health officials on any outbreaks with correct information, by the way. Well, some of them have gotten some things wrong, including the name of the person who passed away. And they're also calling for a strategy for securing more staff in the event of an outbreak among staff members. Also stipulates that facilities with less than 100 beds have to hire an infectious disease expert on at least a part-time basis. Larger facilities or any facility with an on-site hemodialysis must hire an expert on a full-time basis to serve as an infection prevention specialist. Long-term care facilities would also be required to post their outbreak response plan to their websites, provide copies of their plan to their residents and families upon admission, notify residents and families of any changes to those plans. That bill now heads to the Assembly Speaker for either further consideration or hopefully quickly being placed on the legislative calendar. That's what's happening in the Assembly. Over on the State Senate side of things, State Senate President Steve Sweeney has put forth a infection prevention and control plan for nursing homes bill. State would develop an infection prevention control plan for nursing homes that would have the state conduct an assessment of the current infrastructure, try to figure out the upgrades that are needed to better protect the health and safety of the residents and the staff. Companion bill would have state health officials develop infectious disease instructional programs for nurses who work in long-term care facilities. These are measures that were both introduced this past week. Bill would have the Department of Health conduct a statewide assessment of the nursing home infection control and prevention infrastructure, and whatever they find, based on that, develop an improvement plan, because there is no doubt one is needed to prevent, contain, and control the outbreak or the spread of infectious diseases. Plan would incorporate best practice standards, know the states, and put in place specific goals and timelines for improvements that take into account the age of the facility, the availability of land for expansion or new construction, what the cost of the improvements would be, and what authorizations would be required. Essential standards for review, according to this legislation, includes a count of the total number of single resident rooms in nursing homes, the percentage of beds that are utilized in single resident rooms, and a review of the ability of nursing homes to expand their single room capacity. Calls for a survey of the maintenance system, rather status of heating, ventilating, AC, refrigeration systems in those locations. Study of the utilization of negative pressure rooms and other physical plant features intended to increase infection control and prevention. And any other infrastructure-related considerations recommended by the New Jersey Task Force on long-term care quality and safety. The assessment would have to be done within 1 year of the effective day of the bill. Health department would then be required to develop the infection control and prevention plan no later than 180 days after the assessment is completed, which along with the obvious elements, that's a key issue too, as opposed to just passing a bill and say, well, you know, when you guys can get around to it, that would be a wonderful thing to let us know. The companion legislation that would have the Department of Health work with the Association for Professionals in Infection Control and Epidemiology to develop an infection prevention course designed for registered nurses, certified nurse aides who are employed at these facilities. The health department, the board of nursing, would review the nursing curriculum, develop methods to encourage nurses to enroll in post-acute care residency programs, and determine if the curriculum should be modified to better prepare them to work in that field. That's what's happening with legislation moving forward. The feds are sending us some help, some much-needed help, to the veterans homes in New Jersey, where 190 at the last official count have passed away. Doctors and nurses from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs will spend the next month at the two largest New Jersey veteran nursing homes. And this comes as a follow-up to the four top leaders at the veteran centers in Paramus and Menlo Park, where one-third of the residents, along with staff members, have either been infected or have passed away from the coronavirus. They've been replaced. It also comes after the resignation of Brigadier General Jamal J. Beal, the adjunct general who, well, up until recently, oversaw the New Jersey Department of Military Veterans Affairs, who oversaw the veteran centers. Menlo Park Home in Edison suffered the most fatalities out of the nearly 700 long-term care facilities in the state. VA is not going to be sending staff, at least not yet, to the veterans home in Vineland. That's where three residents have passed away. So those are the advances. There is always one exception to the rule, isn't there? And this one exception is the Andover Subacute Rehabilitation Center in, of course, Andover, New Jersey. It's now been almost 6 months since Sussex County Council Kevin Kelly made the first request for information to New Jersey's Department of Health about what happened during the spring segment of the pandemic, where residents and staff at Andover Subacute and Rehab Centers 1 and 2 passed away, became infected, all of the above. It's now been over 2 months since the County of Sussex has received an update from the Department of Health on the completion status of these requests. Here's the deal. Kelly made two Open Public Records Act requests to the state back in May. First on May 1st, then on May 12th. First request, Kelly asked for 19 different types of records pertaining to Andover Subacute Rehab 2. It included routine inspection reports from 2017 to 2020, complaint inspection reports, state's communications with Andover Subacute Legal Counsel, and it goes on from there. Second request on May 12th from Kelly asked the state for directives and orders long-term care facilities within Sussex County received from the Department of Health about acceptance and treatment of the COVID-19 patients. On May 29th, Kelly sent via certified mail, return receipt requested, follow-up correspondence to Genevieve Reganelli, who was the OPR custodian for the State Department of Health. And the mail from Kelly said that if no response was received by June 10th for the request he'd made, Kelly would seek authorization from the Sussex County Board of Chosen Freeholders to pursue the state of New Jersey legally in Superior Court to get the answers and the material. June 13th, Reganelli responded saying Kelly's May 12th request had been closed. Why? Because, well, she claimed, it was sent to the incorrect office within the Department of Health, which she said was then forwarded to her in the correct office. So she asked for more time through June 29th to fulfill those requests. June 24th came, made a similar allegation that the May 1st request went to the wrong office then to her. But rather than fulfilling the request, get ready for this, Reganelli basically said, look it up yourself. She directed Kelly to the state's website where she said he could look up the information and get what he needed from there, to which Kelly responded on July 6th that under OPR it was insufficient for the state to provide information where Kelly could search. Instead, she needed to deliver the requested information. What's the difficulty here? July 17th, Raganelli responded to Kelly advising she would need another extension until August 5th to get together the information. Then a third extension, August 11th, notifying she would need until August 19th to provide all the requested information. To this point, Sussex County has neither received follow-up correspondence from Raganelli or another extension request. Sort of like the person owes a lot of money and hoping the bill collector will get tired of calling and then stop. And I don't think Mr. Kelly's going to get tired of demanding. Past the point of asking. Now it's time for some demands.